guys.
I really want you. Is this thing on here? I really want you to heed what Menzel was saying earlier. It's important. And I want to also say, you know, the statistics that Katie gave bear out that there is a problem in churches today with follow-through, with actually living out what we believe. You know, and the disconnect is our responsibility. It's not somebody else. It's us. It's our responsibility. If you think about, what did you say, Menzel, over 100 million abortions. That, you know what that means? I when I came up here, I said that that's 100 million moms and 100 million dads, all of them wounded by that sin, all of them hurt. So now you have 100 million babies destroyed. And, you know, how many doctors have we killed? How many scientists who may have cured? Did we destroy the one who might have cured cancer? I don't know. We'll never know who we destroyed. And that's what makes abortion, one of the many things that makes abortion so hideous, is that it presumes to understand what is to be and decides what is not to be. And man has always tends to go beyond their purview of expertise that way. And then it leaves hundreds of thousands of people destroyed. Now, think about across the nation. How many millions over the last 40, 50 years? So there's a real issue. Now, the fact that this year 48 women in Seneca County, was it 48, something like that? 48 women in Seneca County. We have probably 20 women in the room right now. Could you imagine if every woman in this room had had an abortion this past year? How horrible that would be. There are 48 women in Seneca County, 100 women in other counties nearby. And we're responsible for that. That falls to us. That falls to the church. And so I think the a course of action for all these things, like Menzel mentioned the giving to Josephus. See, why do we raise these questions? Why do we raise these issues? Why do we challenge all the time? Because I refuse to attend a church that won't challenge me. I refuse to go to a church that won't ask me to leave if they needed to. I refuse to be part of a church that won't look hard and honest at what needs to be looked at hard and honest. I think what we see in churches today is people will come and we're just going to say, you know, 40 women in Seneca County had abortions this year. Please pray for them. And that's it. You know, we've committed to Josephus dollars. We did that together. And there are people in this room who said they would help with X amount of dollars. Now, you know what the trend is in families in America today is to ignore problems. Isn't that the trend? Just let the kids do what they want. We don't want to fight that battle. We don't want to, wife is doing this or saying this, husband's doing this, saying this. Just no communication, confrontation. Confrontation is always bad. We should never confront. And that's the spirit of the age. That is not the spirit of God. You read the Bible and you will not find a more confrontational person than Jesus Christ. You won't find a more confrontational means than the Holy Spirit. He is the master confronter. You know when your heart goes down the wrong road that the Holy Spirit will confront you. You do realize that? How many understand what I'm saying? He's a confronter. You know? Well, here in this congregation, we will confront the issues. We'll confront problems. We'll enjoy, we'll celebrate our wins, and we'll confront issues and problems. And, you know, maybe that's difficult for some to hear. Maybe it's difficult for you to hear that you committed a certain dollar amount and that you've not done. Now, here's what I want to say about that. One other thing. Let's say you made a commitment of faith promise that you're no longer keeping, and you're not keeping it because you've botched up your finance. We'll help you with that. We'll help you straighten it out. If you've done that and you don't know where it's going to come from, as Menzel said, we will walk you through that. We'll help you with that. We want to assist you in the large issues. Does everybody understand that? Right? But I'll tell you this. If you're part of this church, if you call this your church home, and you're not participating in the missions, and you're not participating in the building fund, then why is this even your church home? Because this is what our church is doing. We're doing this now. We're in Africa, working in Africa, and we have two churches there. And there are families being ministered, and there are people getting touched there, and there are water filters being put in there, and we are doing a great job. Josephus is doing a great job in Africa, and we're behind him. Amen? That's what we're doing as a congregation. That's the vision of this church. The vision of this church is also to help some of these moms and help to stem the tide of this horrendous catastrophe, this disaster that's happened in our country of abortion. You know what else we're doing? We're doing this because we believe in educating young people for Christ. This is what we do. This is your church. Right? Stop staying away. Stop not participating. Get on the ball. Participate. Do something if this is your church. Do something. Jump in and help. This is your family. Now, for you young people, let me just say this to you. I love the fact that your parents brought you here. You know what? One day you're going to be old enough to decide whether or not you want to come on your own when this is your church. And you know what you're going to want to do? You're going to want to have for your children what their parents had for theirs. Do you understand what I mean by that? Paul, do you understand what I mean by that? Let me just pick on you for a minute because there's so much fun to pick on. No, you don't understand. All right, here's what I mean. One day you're going to have kids. And I can't wait to see what they do to you. No. One day you're going to have children. And this will be your church because I'm not letting you leave the area. So this will be your church. Now, don't you want great facilities for your kids? That's why you participate now. But one day, you know, I'm not going to wake you up on a Saturday morning and say, get up, you're coming to help at the church. You're going to get up on your own. Now, Paul, on his own, got up yesterday, wanted to come and help. I didn't have to twist his arm. Usually I don't with any of them. But let's say you have a child and you're one of those kids that your mom drags you or whatever. You're going to want a place for your families. That's why we involve you now, right? And for those of you who don't have children anymore, you know what? You're helping the next generation by helping us with this project here. You know, you say, well, I don't have any kids. Why should I help clean the Sunday school rooms? Why should I help teach Sunday school? You know, with that mentality, why even bother being a Christian? I mean, Christianity is about others, isn't it? Hello? And I you say, well, boy, I didn't come to church just wanting to get beat up. Sorry. You know, and I hope you don't feel beat up. We're not trying to beat you up. We're trying to wake you up, right? Snap out of this thing. I think we get hypnotized. We're too busy. Like I talked about this Wednesday, and I'm so glad Menzel brought this up because we hit on it Wednesday a little bit about the idea that, you know, we get into this thing of time. I don't have any time. I ran out of time. I don't have any time. People don't. Well, what are you doing with your time? And I asked this question Wednesday. I want to ask it one more time for those of you who are backslidden and don't come to church on Wednesday. I want to ask you this way. Do you believe that God gave the exact amount of hours in every day? How many of you believe that? Do you believe that God gives you exactly what you need financially? How many believe that? Now, if you're of the mindset this morning and you would say this, I am so far off topic, I don't even care how far off topic I get today. You're of the mindset this morning where you say, well, I don't know, God isn't giving me what I need. Well, the Bible says that let every man, let God be true and every man a liar, right? So God is true when he says, my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. So does God supply your need? Maybe God's not funding your want. Hello? God will supply your need, but it doesn't say he's going to fund your wants, your every whim and desire. Someone say amen in the church this morning. so I don't get lonely. Well, the same thing is true with hours of the day. Has God supplied all the time you need? Well, don't tell me you're out of time then and you can't serve God. I don't want to hear it. And nor will He. Right? There's not enough time in the week. How many have ever heard that? Oh, I suppose you'd make a better God than Him. You would add more time to the day. I need a couple more hours a day to get done everything I need to get done. Well, you know what? You're doing the wrong things. If you don't have enough time to do what you're supposed to do, then you've added things you're not supposed to be doing to your supposed-to-do list. You need to take your supposed-to-do list and trim it down so that you can get done what you need to get done and do what you have to do. But if you don't have time to do what you have to do, then I got to ask you, what are you doing with all this time? And I bet you if you told me what you did yesterday, I bet you could find some time that you may have frittered or wasted. Let's start with the television. Let's start with the goofing off. You know, honestly, if I have things to do, I how about this? How many of you plan vacation? Does that get on your calendar every year? I know a lot of people, they plan their breaks every year. They plan their evangelism? Nope. Do they plan to get out and help clean the church? Nope. But they'll plan other things. I'm asking you to do this as your pastor this morning. I'm asking you to do this. Follow through now. Now is the time to follow through. Now is the time, say it. This is the place. We are the people. Say it again. Now is the time. This is the place. We are the people. No more excuses. We don't have time for excuses. What's an excuse? Isn't it the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie, right? That's very good. Thank you, Jason. Jason had a coffee this morning or something. So, you know, and if you're relatively new here, and there are people that are relatively new, you know who they are. Glenn's relatively new. Cooley's relatively new. Has everybody met Cooley, by the way? Hi, everybody. Thanks, Cooley. There's other people. Sarah's relatively new here. You know, believe it or not, the Blues have been here for a couple years, right? That's still relatively new. But you know, at some point, you got to look at what we're doing, and you got to make a choice. You got to decide, I want to participate, and then you got to do it, and then you got to stick to it. That's what we hope happens. Now we don't invite guests and visitors to come to church so we can get something from them. Preferably, we hope that you're getting something from us. Right? Hopefully you're getting encouragement. Hopefully you're getting some love. You might even be getting some food every now and then. You know, we try to, a lot of teasing. We hope you get a little bit of teasing. That's, you know what? If we tease you, that means you're loved. If we're not teasing you, that means we don't really like you. So, you know, that's why Dennis has stayed around as long as Dennis has stayed around. You know, the teasing is what families do. Families that are comfortable with each other tease. But you know what else we're comfortable doing? We're comfortable teasing. We're comfortable eating together, we're comfortable serving together, and we're comfortable challenging the bejeebers out of one another. And if you can't be challenged, and you don't like the fact that you get challenged every now and then, there's a real issue. There's a hard issue. Stubbornness, whatever the case is. Now, I'll tell you, I get challenged all the time by my guys. The guys in the church, the men who serve, challenge me. And by the way, some of the women are very challenged. I mean, they challenge me as well. So I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to be here. And I'm grateful to be part of a church that won't let me get lackadaisical, that doesn't want me to become a Laodicean Christian. And we talked about the Laodicean church and the Revelation class. The Laodiceans, they just didn't care anymore, and they just had their church. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. They didn't offer anybody warmth or refreshment. They were just room temperature, and the Bible says that that's just something that makes God spew it right. Like, what is this? You don't want to be blah Christians, do you? Look at the person next to you and say, don't be a blah Christian. Say it. Menzo, what's that? Yeah. Oh, Raquel and Mike, please stand. You have 2 weeks to back out. Okay. You know, so it's 2 weeks away. You know, and God has been faithful. God has provided a good employment. God's provided a place for them to live. God has given them ministries. God has given them to each other. We're very proud of you. And I want to just say this publicly now, because I probably won't do this at the wedding ceremony. I want all the kids to look at them for a second. I'm going to say this to you. The whole time they've been dating, right, they've been careful. They haven't been making out, kissing and all that stuff. They just don't do it. And you know why? Because they know the Bible says it is good for man not to touch a woman. And you don't do that when you're dating. It's hands off until you're married. And they did it. We'll see what happens in the next 2 weeks. But they did it so far. You better behave yourself. Two more weeks, man. All right, have a seat. It's hard when you counsel young couples. They come in for marriage counseling. There's some topics you want to touch on and others you just can't even talk about because you don't want to cause a problem. So anyway, but I'm so glad that they've done that. And there are people that get offended and walk up and leave the church right in the middle of the church. Yeah, I know. I know. I know what you're doing. It's quarter after 11. I'm almost done preaching. I haven't even opened the Bible here yet. But you know what? We have a Bible and a Word of God that tells us how we ought to live our lives. And it's very clear to me that the steward must be found faithful. And I want to be a faithful son to God my Father. I want to be found faithful. I want to be, at the end of my course, be able to say, you know what, I ran the race. I finished my course. God told me what he wanted, and I ran like crazy. I fell down a lot. I got sidetracked a lot. I looked around at the squirrels, you know, and I got distracted. But you know what? There are always people running with me, and they said, hey, off the back of the head, let's go. Come on, keep going. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep coming. Keep serving. Keep giving. Don't stop tithing. Don't stop giving. Don't stop serving. Don't stop loving. Don't stop evangelizing. Don't stop telling people about Christ. Don't stop having friends over for coffee. Don't stop inviting yourself to people's houses for pie. Don't stop doing things like that where you're engaging in relationships, having conversations, serving God together, moving forward. Now is the time. We don't have any more time. And frankly, the clock is ticking and we're running out of time on a lot of things. Now's the time. This is the place. You want to know why this is the place? This is the place because we believe the Word of God is preached here. Christ is revealed here. And if you're going to find your path for life, you're not going to find it at a bar stool. You're not going to find it out in the world with some floozy or some Romeo. You're not going to get it out there. You know where you're going to find the path for your life? You're going to find it right here, my friends. Because right here, the Bible says, the Word of God is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. This is the place. Now is the time. This is the place. And we're the people. I'll tell you, I don't know a lot of churches that are serving in Africa right now. I'll be honest with you. I don't know a lot of churches that are directly involved in the kind of ministries we're involved in. I know Sunday school has fallen off in a lot of churches. There are statistics now showing that people are thinking Sunday school is a waste of time. We're about to invest $500,000 in a Sunday school program. I don't know if it's been said to you like that, but that's exactly what we're doing. I was thinking about it this week. We're about to spend $500,000 on kids' Christian education. I would spend $2 million on it if I knew what we were going to save some lives. And by the way, I do, so $500,000 is a drop in the bucket. And it's not my money anyway. And it's not your money, it's God's. You need to make sure he gets his part. So you know what? That's what we're doing. That's why this is the place. And if I didn't, I'll tell you what, I think this is one of the best churches in the area, I believe with all my heart. Is with all of our flaws and foibles and weaknesses, this is the place. Now is the time. My wife just came in. Now is the time. This is the place. We are the people. Amen. All right. Let's close. Sorry. I was getting ready to close. No, she's had a rough week. And please, like I said earlier, please pray for Karen and my father-in-law. It's a miracle she's even here this morning. So, all right, let's pray. Precious Father, we want to thank you for our day today. As we celebrate the commitment of Jesus Christ to ride into Jerusalem to his sure death, willingly, on a young animal that had never been ridden before. And you know what's amazing? He got on that animal and the animal didn't buck him. Most times a new animal, you set on a new animal to ride either a donkey or a colt or a small horse, they're going to buck the rider. This donkey submitted to Christ. And I don't think it should be called Palm Sunday anymore. I think we ought to call it Donkey Sunday. In memory of the donkey who didn't buck Jesus. And you know what? I don't want to buck Jesus. I don't want to fight him. When he wants to use me, I want to let him use me. When he needs to ride me somewhere, let him ride me somewhere. If he's going to get on me about something, then let him get on me. I'm not going to buck Jesus. It's Donkey Sunday. And Father, today, let Donkey Sunday be meaningful to us, that we would follow Christ, and let him take us where he's going. The donkey didn't go somewhere else. The donkey went where Jesus is going. Let us go where Jesus is going. And if it looks like a bad idea, we're going to go anywhere because Jesus is leading that way. Maybe sometimes I feel it's a bad idea to go love somebody or lay down my life or do something sacrificial. You know what? Today is Donkey Sunday, and I'm going to honor the memory of that animal and the choice that Jesus Christ made. Not to choose the flashy war horse, not to choose the giant Clydesdale like the beer people do, but to choose a donkey. Yeah, I guess we're those donkeys. There's nothing pretty about us necessarily. Some people here are kind of pretty, but there's nothing pretty about us here, Lord. We're just regular old people, just donkeys. May we not buck you. May we follow you where you're going to go. And may we do the very thing you want us to do. We pray this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.